Good morning, everybody. Hi on Facebook on this Indigenous Peoples Day, October 8th, 2018. We're live on Facebook, a little bit of a special event. I've got the day off from my labor, so we took advantage of that, a chance to talk to our comrade, Madeline Hoffman, who's running for Senate on the Green Party line. Hi, Madeline. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Brian. I'm fine. Thank you. Yes, this on this Indigenous Peoples Day.
Yes, yes, we do not celebrate colonizers here.
No, we do not.
Radio, ever. So we want to make
a legacy. Yes.
We want to make sure everybody got it on their calendar for October 18th at the Trent Tea House in Montclair, New Jersey. That's 411 Bloomfield Avenue. We're going to start around 7:30. Come on in, grab yourself a cup of coffee, a piece of cake, some dinner items there. They've got a nice little menu. And around 8 o'clock, we're going to start our live stream broadcast, a show where we're going to talk about the last 100 episodes of New Jersey Revolution Radio and what we have planned for the future of New Jersey Revolution Radio. So we hope to put on an entertaining show and a good night to celebrate the community that's kind of forming around our podcast. If you can chip in for that, we are doing pretty good with the fundraiser, but we could use a few more dollars. As always, it's been a few days since our last one. Again, we wanted to thank Jackie for donating $100. Jackie Wenzel, who's running the 32 Acres campaign, as well as a great community activist and a supporter of New Jersey Revolution Radio. So please go to the website, www.njrevolutionradio.com. And make a donation. We appreciate that. Madeline, how is the campaign for United States Senate treating you? How you been?
I've been busy, Brian. I've been busy virtually all the time, whether it's on the street or at my computer or on video, producing some live stream or other segments for distribution. And you can tell I'm a little tired. My words are coming a little slowly first thing this morning. But the campaign is going very well. And it's very challenging in a lot of ways, but very, we're living in very, very partisan times, as you all know. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of pressure out there to do and act and vote in particular kinds of ways. But despite that, it's important for us as Greens to put forward our strong message that's different from both of those political parties, the Democrats and the Republicans. And the more that I campaign and the more that I travel around the state, the more I realize how important it is to put forward this message, because there are a lot of people out there who are left out of what the Democrats and Republicans are doing. There are a lot of people out there who are affected negatively by what the Democrats and Republicans are doing. And there has to be a strong voice for change and for advocating for the things that people need. One of the ways in which I've been learning is by going to a homeless shelter in Newark a few weekends ago, and it turned out that was the weekend that the homeless shelter was closing. So I was there on a Friday night, and the homeless shelter was scheduled to close on Sunday morning. And 200 people were released from the homeless shelter and then were put on their own, sent out on their own. And this is in a city like Newark, it is Newark, that had just given Jeff Bezos a $2.5 billion tax break to locate within the city. And that homeless shelter cost $250,000.
Can I ask you now, real quick, this sounds like a Republican plan. These are Republicans that run Newark, right?
No, they're not.
They're not?
No. It's so Rod Baraka.
Who is it?
It's Raz Baraka, son of Amiri Baraka, a.k.a. Leroy Jones.
And he is giving tax breaks to Amazon while
yes.
sending homeless people to, where did he send them? Where do they go? If you were in that unfortunate situation and you were relying on this shelter, you were one of these 200 human beings, where did you go?
It depended, really. I interviewed several. I was able to talk to the woman, a woman in Newark. Her name is Queen. She's taken it upon herself to work for and with the homeless, to advocate for them. And so I was able to meet her and talk to her and talk to some of the people who were homeless in the park. Some had no place to go. Some had an apartment that was supposed to be coming available in 2 weeks. Some were going to sleep on a friend's couch until they could figure it all out. Mm. Another I met happened to meet about a week later. He was sent to a place for homeless, and then he left and went and left because he picked up his stuff and left because there were bed bugs all over the bed. He was not going to stay there. So, and you know, one of the things that I realized is that we're all just, many of us are a paycheck away from that. I mean, these were people with degrees, who were educated, who had skills, who had been working. You know, these are not, these people should be treated with much more dignity and respect than they have, than they are. And I went to the council meeting and I couldn't restrain myself because the priorities are so skewed that we have the people who are homeless who are hiding. Basically, they hide out in nooks and crannies in downtown Newark also, or they sleep at the airport, or they actually work at Amazon and have no place to go after. Right. Yeah, so it's very eye-opening, but I've talked for years about how the military budget is so big and represents such a large percentage of our discretionary spending. And right there, $700 billion for the military. And wow, this place needs $250,000 to operate.
It speaks to our priorities, doesn't it?
Yes, in a very, very negative, in a very eye-opening and infuriating way. Yeah.
What's infuriating me, and you know, things infuriate us as Greens, it just comes with the territory. We just walk around angry at everything, I think, because I think we recognize a lot of problems. Yes. That the establishment doesn't want to address. But so when we get sucked into bourgeois politics, and one of the pitfalls of electoral politics is you start getting sucked into the same conversations as liberals and conservatives have. But where we really get our education, where we really get our political education from is everyday conversations. And you get to have a lot of those when you campaign. As you said, you've been busy. I've seen you on Facebook. You've been at farmers markets and events, and you've been at these places where you can just talk to people who are not necessarily what we consider politically engaged, right? We think of people that are going to work every day, feeding their families, and politics is more in the background of their lives. What do you take out of those conversations? How many have you had? Have any stuck out to you? Where are the people at when you engage?
You know, that's a very good question, Brian. And I have a lot of different experiences talking with people. But I will say the farmers market in Hoboken on Saturday was a very, I had a lot of different kinds of conversations there with young people who are not sure which direction to go in because things aren't, they want to get involved politically, but they're frustrated and they're unhappy with the way things are, and very willing to consider voting green and to hear about the Greens. We went to I'm shifting on yesterday. We were canvassing in Union, and we went to a door of an older gentleman, and we asked him what kind of concerns he had, because we explained the Green Party, and this is Dianne Moxley running for Congress in his district, and I'm running for U.S. Senate. And right, we asked him what are his concerns, and he rattled off the top 6 points on our platform sheet. He talked about environment, and he talked about He talked about, I'm not even remembering, but he did a better job. He did a better job of explaining our principles and our positions than we might have. But going back to the farmer's market, went to this woman. I met this woman right around the sunflowers and pumpkins. And she, and I gave her, I handed her a platform card and I said, and I'm running, my name is Madeline Hoffman. I'm running for U.S. Senate as a Green. Would you consider voting third party? And she said, I hate Kavanaugh. I hate Trump. Oh boy. I hate Hillary. And we then had proceeded to have this conversation about what's going on in this country and sounded like we were really on the same page about a lot of things. And then she shocked us, me and she shocked me and the person I was with. She said, and I'm a Republican.
Wow.
It's like, oh, really? You're a Republican. So I think, you know, a lot of Republicans are abandoning ship because they don't like what's happened in their party. A lot of people who are getting to the age or just at the early age of voting don't know which way, don't know which way to go because they don't like either the Democrats or the Republicans. And so there's a lot of concern out there, a lot.
I'm interested. So where was this woman going to turn to? What was her, what did she see as her options here? Did she get into who she's going to vote for or what she thinks the right thing to do is for a Republican woman who seemingly hates all the Republicans?
Yeah, I mean, it's, and yeah, and no, it seemed to me like she was, she didn't say, I'll vote for you. She didn't say, I will vote Green, but she didn't say she was going to vote for Hugin either. She didn't say she was going to vote for Menendez either. This is, so I'm not sure. I'm not sure, but she surprised, that was a curveball when she said, and I'm a Republican. But I think there are a lot of people out there who are just, even the ones who said, I'm going to vote Democrat, a lot of them said to me, we would love to support a third party. We really want to support a third party. It's important to have a third party. We need to have more choices out there, but I just can't do it.
Yeah, I've been meaning to make a meme where it's like, you know, Americans say we really need a third party. Americans also say I can't support a third party because they won't win. I mean, they talk, it's we have this identity crisis in American politics where we hate the system, but we won't take the steps, I think, in great strides, at least, to correct the system fast. It seems like we're slowly getting that political education, but it's not fast enough for when we consider, you know, the ramifications in the real world. People are suffering. People are, you know, 40 million people at or near poverty. It's not the time for gradual change. It's the time for revolutionary change, but we can't push this system fast enough. And I think, I guess what you're hearing is the same thing on the conservative end of the spectrum, especially in, you know, New Jersey, New York, where even conservatives have liberal bents. I mean, we are not, when you look at our demographics, especially in the northern part of the state,
right.
It's more towards the liberal traditional Republican, you know, whereas the national level Republicans have lost their fucking minds. I mean, let's face it, they're so far to the right. They've alienated Jersey Republicans, New York Republicans, that liberal.
Yeah, and many like that. We've had a lot of conversations. You know, everyone has a line that they won't cross. Or if you're with somebody in a relationship or something like that, and they hurt you once, and then maybe they hurt you again, there's certain things you can sort of tolerate from them. You say, well, okay, this is, I can deal with that. I can tolerate that. But then there's a line over which you can't cross and have somebody come back. And I think that line has been crossed for many people that we've been talking to. That line is crossed. But And even on the other side of the equation, the Democratic side of the equation, there are people who are fed up with the candidates that they've been given, people fed up with that. But like you said, Brian, they don't have the, I think it's bravery or courage, and to go outside the box, the two-party system, even though they know we need to do it, or they'll say that they need to do it. We need to do it. And yeah, we don't have the time to change things from the inside. People have been trying already for many years. And then you go out to places like Newark or Camden or Jersey City, and you see what's happening on the impact of trying to go that route, and it's just
I have no patience. And the places you're referring to are the progressive Democratic stronghold, supposedly, in our state, which you can see that it's very much a sleight of hand game. It's we're progressive Democrats, but we run a police state just like Republicans would. But there is some positive notes to your campaign, and we talked a little bit before we came live here about something important, about expectations, right? We are 4 weeks away from a little less than, I think maybe one day shy of 4 weeks away from when we go to the polls here in New Jersey. What's the voting date, Madeline? Tuesday of November 6th, we're going to go out. We're going to pick our next senator and some other people. What do you expect to have happen on November 6th? Where do you go from there?
Okay, well, that's a good question. First of all, I'm not able to predict at this point who's going to win. I know I'm not going to win, but between the Democrats and Republicans, I don't know. I also know that I've been working with and will continue to work with some other independents to bring out the voices of all of us in debates, because the powers that be have decided that it's only necessary to hear from Democrats and Republicans. So we're going to get the word out for what the Greens stand for, and we'll see how that flies, because there's a lot after the primary and for Menendez, where Lisa McCormick, she got 30-something% of the vote. It's a lot of uncertainty out there and a lot of dissatisfaction. It's not coming all to me, I know that. But it's just that things are churned up. They're churned up politically. And so I can't predict that, but I know what I'm going to do. Yeah.
I think you're going to catch a little bit of slack for saying, well, I don't think I'm going to win, but I think that's okay. And I actually think that's a step forward for the Green Party as a whole. I think it's important to have realistic expectations. And I'll just say that it's good to have a positive attitude about going into something that you have reasonable expectations for. And, my personal expectation and my personal kind of desire, at least this cycle, and it will continue on, I think, because of the impact it's had on my activism, but is this peace movement that we talk about. Nobody's talking about peace. And, if we're going to build a movement, we need representatives of that movement to capture that energy. And Madeline, you've done a great service, I think, to the state of New Jersey by saying we need to talk about peace. And we're not going away after the election. And what this campaign has done is given a platform, not just to the Green Party, but here at New Jersey, it's given me an opportunity to talk about peace and to grow as an activist into that movement. So that's just one thing. Where else are you having that impact where you can say, listen, we're going to do what we're going to do electorally, right? We're going to get as many votes as we get, but we had an impact. How?
Well, before I talk about the others, let's focus on the anti-war stuff a little bit.
Sure.
Because we have called this fall, October, the anti-war autumn. Ajamu Baraka, who's the lead organizer for the Black Alliance for Peace, actually said, let's work for this as an anti-war autumn. And my campaign picked it up. The Greens here have picked it up. And it started in September with the International Day of Peace. And for me, will continue till the 21st of October, which is going to be the Women's March on the Pentagon. And when I talked about this the other day and spoke about the fact that this is a march on the Pentagon, I got a lot of positive feedback. It's not a march on Donald Trump. It's a march on the Pentagon, the symbol of and the center of all of our war policies around the world. So Ajamu Baraka has endorsed my campaign, and the Black Alliance, and the Black Alliance for Peace is calling for the 53 military bases that have been built in Africa since around 2009, 10 years ago. We're calling on them to all be shut down and for the U.S. to withdraw from Africa, the imperialist U.S. to get out of Africa. And so that's part of what the campaign is about. And you know, yesterday, October 7th, was the 17th anniversary, if you will, of the U.S. invasion of Afghanistan post 9/11. And the United States is still there, and the United States is still dropping bombs, and the United States is still flying drones, and the United States has expanded from Afghanistan to Syria to Yemen, which is, and if you ever see any images from Yemen, you'll never support another weapon sold to Saudi Arabia again in your life. But our politicians continue to promote those wars. And we've got Hillary Clinton coming into New Jersey on October 15th, the campaign for Senator Menendez. And Hillary Clinton is of the "we came, we saw, he died" school of, you know, what happened in Libya, which is in Africa. So we have a lot of things coming up this month, and an anti-imperialism forum with Ajamu on Sunday, October 14th, Hillary coming in on October 15th, Women's March on the Pentagon on the 20th and 21st. So yes, I mean, we have a lot to do with the anti-war movement, but we're making an impact there. And just wanted to highlight a couple of the upcoming events and the we're calling this anti-war autumn. Oh, and there is going to be, on the 21st, there'll be a local vigil in Montclair. I don't have all the details right this minute, but there'll be one in Montclair in case people can't make it all the way down to Washington, D.C. So we're going to really try to rev that up.
Great.
Another issue, Brian, I'm sorry. It's a long, intro into
It is a day off from work for me. I'm chilling in my living room. I got a cup of coffee. You can hear some kids in the background. So yes. As long as you can hear the kids in the background, just go plug whatever you need to plug.
So that's on the war issue, on the anti-war issue. And my goodness, it's just, it never ends. And we need people out there in the streets, and we need people on their computers tweeting to Senator Menendez with the hashtag anti-war autumn. You know, let's get out of Yemen. Let's stop selling weapons to Saudi Arabia. Let's stop the killings in Gaza. I mean, that's another part of this anti-war autumn, and the carnage. I think there's close to 200 protesters who have been killed since they started in Gaza. They started their march of return. So these are all things, if you're concerned about, if you're listening and you hear this, just hashtag anti-war autumn, at Bob Menendez, New Jersey, at Bob Hugin. And tell them what you think about this, because they're not raising these issues at all.
They're not. They're trying to pretend it's not happening. We saw that in South Jersey. We saw it in Toms River when not one Democrat, none of them showed up. None of them cared. They're trying to ignore the slaughter.
Right, and they're sending in the Madeleine Albrights, and the Democrats are sending in the Madeleine Albrights and the Hillary Clintons. Yes. You know, throwing the military-industrial complex right into our face. and then saying it's a distraction to be anti-war at this point. So the flip side of the anti-war issue is education and city and homeless and what's going on in our cities. And we're going to have a virtual town hall, I think, after our anti-imperialism forum next Sunday, a virtual town hall to bring people together who are fighting for local control of public education and for more money to be put into our public education system. I know our friend Gary Fraser in Camden is working really hard, and the Greens came down in force to help to support this in the beginning of September. There's a ballot. There's a question on the ballot on the 6th of November, to on the same day as Election Day, to keep the control of the Board of Education in local communities' hands instead of having it taken over by politicos of some level. So the issues of education are key here. And set right in the central part of our campaign. So that I suspect we'll continue to do that work after the election is over to support keeping education in the hands of local people, public education in the hands of local communities. We're also going to keep working on the issue of homeless and providing affordable housing, universal rent control, and other programs to house large number of people who are now currently homeless. We'll continue to fight for improved Medicare for all. So we had a forum on that in the middle of September, and there's a lot of support for single payer healthcare to get the profit out of the healthcare system so everybody gets coverage who needs it. And then this ICE, the issue of ICE and immigration, we're still working very hard on that issue too. I went to a festival in Essex County in Roseland with Jay Arena, who's running for Essex County executive against Joe DiVincenzo, because want to end that contract that the Essex County has with ICE, and he brought a little doll of Joe DiVincenzo, and it's like a little stuffed puppet, and we were walking through, you know, talking to people about how that's blood money, and you know, and in Newark especially, considering itself to be a sanctuary city, to have that ICE facility there just doesn't make any sense. So there's a lot of issues and a lot of movement that we've been a part of as this campaign has gone forward, and all of those areas, I suspect we're going to have to continue to push on all of them, because whoever gets elected, unless it's me, whoever gets elected is not going to be addressing these issues at all.
I agree. And that's where people have to understand that it's not just about an election cycle. It's not just about getting people into office. It's about raising the consciousness in the working class about what politics means and how it affects, you know, our own lives and globally the lives of working class people around this little rock that we live on together. You know, I mean, it's we have to start paying attention to how we treat our fellow man, because that is coming back to bite us in the ass. There's a lot of reports right now on the growth of the power of both the European Union, China, and other places, and that's not a bad thing. I think that's a very good thing. I think it's great to see a global community practice successful economic models, and while never ignore human rights issues in any country, and I'll speak out against human rights abuses by any country, China has not had an economic crash in like 70 years. They don't run from bubble to bubble in China. They've lifted hundreds of millions of people out of poverty, and their stock market shuts down if it goes down too much. They run a different kind of economic model than this capitalist, crazy free market gamble on everybody's livelihoods with somebody else's money system we've got going on here. And I'm rambling. I'm rambling. It's the morning. No, but I need another cup of coffee.
Well, and you can tell from the way that I'm talking here that
it is.
The thoughts are there. The words aren't always. But
our ramblings are interesting to listen to. The numbers show it. Let's just put it that way. Okay.
Yeah, and I think I think we made our points. And the other thing that has happened to me over time here during this campaign is that I've gone from being shy of using the word socialism to not being shy to use it anymore. And so when you're talking about the capitalist model with people being left out of it and risking people's lives, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. I always knew it didn't work, but I was an activist in a time when using the word socialism was not particularly popular. If you used it, you probably couldn't be an activist. Now things have changed with that. And we need to, and people aren't afraid. A lot of the people we talk to aren't afraid, at least of the concept, at least of the idea that the system isn't working. When most of the time I go to the door, just another aside here, most of the time when we get to a door and we explain who the Greens are, the first words we say are, we're working to get big money out of politics. And because we don't take any corporate donations and we don't take any political action committee money. You should see the expressions on the people's faces at the door. At first, why am I answering this door on a Sunday afternoon? Then we say we're working to get big money out of politics. Yes! And we get so many positive responses to that. People understand the role that corporations are playing in creating a life where the people aren't getting what they need. And the Greens are that's why, even though there have been moments along the way where we get called all kinds of names for running, that's why we continue to run, because this is about things much broader than individual campaigns.
I love that attitude, and I wish we had more time, but it is the morning. I do need another cup of coffee.
Okay.
And you're probably doing something today that's going to keep you busy as well. So
yes, I am indeed.
Yeah. What are you doing today?
Well, what I'm going to do today is I'm going to reach out for some endorsements from people around the world whom I've worked with on anti-war issues. I had originally planned to do some more canvassing in Hoboken. I think I'm saving my legs today, though, and I'm going to stay on the computer. I have to fill out a couple of other forms for people, organizations that want to know where I stand on particular issues. And so I'm going to be doing that kind of thing. Press release, fundraising appeal. Oh, yeah. Fundraising appeal.
Go ahead. How do people donate to your campaign? Where do they go?
Okay, they should go to HoffmanForUs.com. That's my website. They can go to Hoffman for Senate 2018 on Facebook. And oh yes, I have to order more lawn signs, and I have to order more literature. Everything is flying out of here. So there's a lot of demand for this stuff and a lot of support for the campaign. And I got to take care of those kinds of things today.
Good. Well, listen, I've been proud to support the campaign. Both you and Diane are doing just a great job of representing the Green Party and our values. And it's appreciated by me and Greens around this state and around the country, too, I think. We're setting some models in place that show people, listen, you don't have to kowtow to liberals or Democrats to run a campaign and get some coverage.
That's
things
for sure.
Are happening around this state. New Jersey Revolution Radio is just one example of the infrastructure that revolutionaries are building in this state. I think it's representative of us growing and having more influence, as well as candidacies like our comrades, Madeline and Diane. So thanks a lot for coming on this morning. Everybody at home, in order to support work here, you can donate at our website or you can come to Montclair. And I want a special, anybody that stay tuned for the whole broadcast, you'll know that we will have coffee mugs coming to you soon that you can buy, support New Jersey Revolution Radio. And, there may be a saying on there, something like capitalist tears. so you can make a statement when you drink out of the cup. So those mugs will be available very, very shortly. I'm actually going to go right from the studio, the recording studio, into the man cave I have out back with some mug press stuff. And I'm going to try my hand at making some mugs for our upcoming event in Montclair, and they'll probably be available online too. That's all we got. Enjoy your Indigenous People's Day. Go ahead, Madeline.
Because I want to plug the Trend Cafe in Montclair.
Oh, okay.
I've been there before, and it's a great place. They have great homemade foods, desserts mostly, but not only. And a lot of gluten-free stuff for vegan stuff. It's a great spot that you could go to, even especially for the fundraiser. But it's a place where you can bring your computer, set up at a table, do your work, and have a good cup of coffee and a nice dessert.
Local place, cashews, crunchy.
I urge people to attend on the 18th.
All right. Thanks a lot, Madeline. Thanks, everybody at home. Have a good night, everybody.
Okay, bye-bye.